Hello, and welcome to the Full Circle Podcast, your source for insights into the science and art of endurance sports training and racing. I'm your host, Coach Laura Henry. All too often, I see athletes getting caught up in the very granular elements of training, such as individual workouts. This is a trap, because it's not just about a single individual workout. Training is about how that workout sets up other elements of the training plan and in your life. And it's also about how it integrates and interplays with other elements, other workouts, in your training plan. It's extremely common for athletes to get focused on completing an individual workout. And this is because athletes think that the doing of the workout, the checking of the box, so to speak, or the getting it done, is the most important thing when it comes to their training. An individual workout is also, honestly, the most visible thing in a training plan, and so that makes it the easiest thing for athletes to focus on. A lot of the other elements of training that matter are nuanced, and they take time to appreciate and to understand. Unfortunately, a lot of athletes, especially age group athletes, don't take the time to learn these and to understand them. So what this means for you is that if you do take the time to understand that training is more than just workout completion, more than just an individual workout, you will automatically have a very strong advantage over most of your peers and fellow athletes. While it is true that workouts need to be completed for adaptations to occur, it is also true that just doing the workout without appreciation for the bigger picture and how all of the little individual elements of training fit together is leaving a lot on the table. Without this understanding and appreciation, the athlete's overall adaptations will be limited. What this means is that the long-term gains in performance of an athlete will be limited if they don't fully appreciate this. In the context of a training plan for a goal or an A race, this means that performance on race day will be diminished. All of this means that just doing the workout and checking the box is not sufficient. Training is not pass or fail in this sense, and it's not a report card or a test where you get a gold star for effort or for checking the box. Workouts are pieces of a puzzle, and that puzzle is called a training plan in the world of endurance sports. Just like a puzzle piece, a workout is not much of anything all on its own. It needs other puzzle pieces, in this case, other workouts and other supporting elements such as recovery, nutrition, hydration, fueling, and mental skills to make it into something. A few years ago, professional triathlete Lionel Sanders said something that summed this idea up really nicely. He said, "One good workout does not win races. 20 to 30 good workouts in close proximity to each other win races." So while winning is the goal for a professional triathlete, and hence why he referenced winning races, we don't need to take him literally because the broad concept that he's referencing does apply to all athletes and their goals, whether their goal is actually winning a race or not. This is because all of us want to win at our own goal setting. Winning in this instance is hitting or reaching the goals that we set. So when thought about this way, what Lionel is saying is that workouts need to fit together just right and that you need to do more than just an individual workout to reach your goals. And this is all true whether any or all of the following is true. Whether the athlete is seeking to make specific gains such as speed, power, or strength development, the athlete is exercising to remain healthy, or the athlete is seeking to remain injury-free or to reduce the probability that they will get injured. This concept applies no matter what the athlete is doing, no matter what their sport is, no matter what their ability level is. Not every workout is going to be perfect. You're not going to have perfect or ideal conditions for every workout. You will not always be in your best mental space for every workout. Honestly, the number of days that you have bad, quote unquote, or poor workouts will likely far outweigh the days that you have great workouts. Managing this expectation is extremely important, as having an expectation that everything will feel great a majority of the time is a recipe for frustration and disappointment. And it also, in my experience, leads to people giving up or saying, they actually have a name for this in psychology. It's called the what the hell effect. And basically, people say, oh, forget it. I'm just going to give up. That being said, we do want to cultivate the best circumstances we can for each workout to do what its purpose is in the larger scope of the overall training plan. There is power in being consistently good or even just consistently okay. If a workout is too depleting or you cannot recover sufficiently from it, your training is going to be impaired on a micro level for several days or for even up to a week. If you do that too often, if you impair yourself on a micro level, it will snowball into macro impairment of several weeks or months. When training is impaired too frequently and or for too long, progress gets stalled and regressions, as opposed to progressions, can actually start to happen. This means that you may set yourself back rather than helping yourself forward if you don't appreciate the larger context that a workout is fitting into. It's very clear to me when an athlete doesn't fully embrace or understand this concept, as it manifests in several ways. One of the most common ways this manifests is when an athlete is insistent about doing an individual workout, no matter what. A lot of times I see this pop up when athletes feel a niggle coming on, they're sick, or maybe they're getting sick and they're in denial about the fact they're getting sick, or they have something going on that is going to compromise their ability to properly support a workout. And examples of that would include travel plans, big life events, or medical tests. For the master's group of athletes I coach, colonoscopies are actually a really common example of that. It's important to remember that it is not about the doing of a single workout. It's about the entire training plan and the totality of training as a whole. It's also important to remember that under the right circumstances, it may actually be worth it not to do the workout or not to do a workout in order to preserve the larger training plan. Yes, I know. I'm saying that workouts are pieces of a puzzle and that they're part of this larger training plan. And yes, I know a puzzle isn't complete without all of the pieces, but we are actually not seeking a perfect puzzle. We are seeking a mostly complete puzzle that is discernible, meaning that if we are imagining a training plan as a puzzle, we can tell what it looks like when we look at it. We aren't guessing, there's not a lot of holes in it, but we can pretty much see what it is because it's mostly complete. When we're talking about an athlete's training plan, the reason we do workouts is to provide ourselves with the best chance at getting the desired adaptation from the workout. That means that if the adaptation or the ability to get the adaptation is compromised, you might actually be better off not doing a workout. So some examples of a situation where you might be better off not doing a workout include, but are not limited to, high levels of life stress, when you have severely compromised sleep, or poor quality sleep, lack of adequate nutrition or hydration before, during, or after a workout. There's many more situations where maybe it's better to not do the workout, but those are just some examples. As the athletes I coach know, because I say this so often, the body is really good at understanding when it is under stress, but it is absolutely terrible at discerning the source of the stress that it is under. So this means that the body does not care at all and cannot tell if the source of stress is a fight with your spouse, a terrible night's sleep, dehydration, lack of nutrition or fueling, or a workout. When there is too much stress as a baseline, adding more stress in the form of a workout can cause an overload, even if the same workout could have been physically completed fine and without causing an overload on a different day when the other stressors were reduced. This might seem paradoxical since workouts can often be sources of stress relief for athletes. So if you're handling something really stressful in your life, you know, a workout might be a way that you help manage that stress. So I get it. It seems paradoxical that a workout could be harmful in a stressful situation. But sometimes, even if it is relieving stress in one way, such as mentally, it may be imposing too much stress in another way, physically on the body. When we are in a situation where not doing a workout is a pragmatic choice and we still find ourselves saying, I want to do the workout, or I don't want to miss my workout, and insisting that we want to do the workout anyway, we really need to recognize this, pause, and take a moment. Because the truth is, when we're saying things like this, it's honestly, I know it's hard to hear, it's honestly like a toddler demanding what they want. What we're saying and doing is rooted in emotions and in feelings, not necessarily in facts. So that's why we need to pause and take a step back and really evaluate it. Because just because we want something to be a particular way doesn't make it the way we want it to be. It's as simple and it's as hard as that. So if we catch ourselves saying these things, we really need to say, whoa, why am I saying this? Is this emotional or is it factual? And we really need to do that self-analysis. Another way that I can tell that athletes don't fully understand the concept that workouts are part of this big scope, bigger puzzle is when an athlete wants to do more of something, and especially within a single workout. In endurance sports training, we refer to things as strengths and as limiters. Strengths are things that athletes are good at. Limiters are the things that athletes find challenging, whether that challenge is physical, mental, or both. Broad categories or disciplines such as running, swimming, cycling, or strength training can be strengths or limiters. So for instance, you might be good at running, but have a limiter in swimming. Additionally, there are actually some subcategories that can be strengths or limiters. So some examples of this, and this is not an exhaustive list, are neuromuscular or speed, muscular endurance, aerobic endurance, mechanics or technical skills, and mental skills. It is so very common for me to see athletes wanting to do more of something. And when I say more, I mean that it can take on many forms. It can be in the form of more workouts, more intensity, or more duration in a single workout, or even over the course of all of their workouts, such as doing more over the course of an entire training week. Single sport athletes often want to do more of their primary sport versus doing something like strength training or cross training. Multi-sport athletes almost always have a stronger discipline or a discipline that they prefer over the others in their sport. So for instance, a triathlete might be a strong runner and may not be as strong in the swim and the bike. And this is especially true if the athlete was a runner before they came into multi-sport. That's a very common pathway for multi-sport athletes to start in running and then come into multi-sport. A triathlete with a high school or a college competitive swimming background might be a stronger swimmer and then not as strong as a cyclist or runner. And then a triathlete might never have swam a lap or run until they were 40 years old, but they might have been riding a bike since they were a kid, and thus they are a stronger cyclist than they are a swimmer or a runner. Whether the athlete is single sport or multi-sport, it's not uncommon for me to see athletes wanting to do more of their strengths or more of their stronger discipline. For instance, a strong swimmer might want to swim more than they want to bike or run. A runner may not want to spend time cross-training and might want to spend all of their available training time running. An athlete who is really comfortable with endurance may not want to do any speed work or high intensity work. An athlete who likes to push themselves may not want to do endurance or easy recovery workouts. Athletes might be wanting to do more of their stronger area or discipline because it is more familiar to them, because it feels better to them, because they enjoy it more, or a combination of all of these. Athletes are often so proud of their strengths, which is completely understandable, and they want to maintain them and or continue to see gains in what they are good at. And like I said, this is understandable, but it's also really important to understand and appreciate that we get stronger by properly balancing working on our limiters and incorporating our strengths into our training. Sometimes what this means is that we may need to take a step back on something that we're strong at or good at in order to give ourselves the capacity and the opportunity to see big gains in a different area. And doing this, scaling back in one area so an athlete can see gains in a different area, actually helps athletes see broad overall gains. It lifts the athlete's overall performance up. Athletes often don't appreciate and/or they lose sight of the fact that doing more, even if they are doing more of something that they enjoy or that they are good at, can adversely impact their limiters. It can make what they're worse at potentially worse. The gains that can be made in an athlete's strongest discipline or area are generally less than the gains that can be made in the disciplines or areas that are limiters for them. So, for instance, if an athlete is a stronger cyclist and they're weaker in swimming and running, the gains that they can make in cycling are probably not as great as the gains that they could be making in swimming or running. If too much fatigue is accumulated in training, whether that fatigue accumulates in a microcycle, which is a week, a mesocycle, which is over the course of several weeks, or a macrocycle, which is over the course of many months or an entire training plan, then that negatively impacts the other elements of their training. If you overreach in one area or a workout, or you have too much accumulated fatigue, then you will not be as properly ready as you could be for other workouts. So if you start a workout with too much accumulated fatigue, then you will be fatigued sooner within that individual workout. This means your mechanics will break down sooner, and we don't ever really want to enforce or practice poor mechanics, as doing something repetitively, good or bad, is what will stick. And all of this means that adaptations will be limited. So for instance, a real-world example of this would be if you overreach in a long bike ride. You go longer than was planned, or you go longer because you think you can go further, but then you impose fatigue when you do that. Even if you feel strong doing it, your body is still going to accumulate fatigue from that workout. And then the next day, let's say you have a run planned, which would be very common in a multi-sport training plan. You then have your run the next day. We are already starting off that run at a disadvantage because you have imposed more fatigue than was originally planned with your bike ride. And starting off the run with more fatigue than was planned puts that single workout, that run, at a disadvantage. And if you start to break down mechanically during that run, you even accumulate more fatigue. And it snowballs. And then that leads into the next day and the next workouts. And you can see how very quickly this can snowball down a whole week, or even into many weeks or a month or even longer. So even if it feels like you can do something, such as adding more time to your long workout, it does not mean that you should. As everyone knows who I coach, I often say, just because you can doesn't mean you should. The extra time in your long workout may actually be leaving your body just too broken down to do subsequent workouts well. There also may be times in your training when you aren't able to complete the workout as planned. And when I say there may also be times, I mean there will be times. This is something that will happen if you do this long enough. Rather than pushing through and quote unquote doing, and I have real emphasis on the air quotes here, the workout anyway, I recommend that you modify the workout. If you aren't able to accomplish the planned objectives of the workout, you are not actually quote unquote doing the workout, even if you complete the planned duration. If you aren't able to actually hit the planned targets of the workout, it is often better to scale back or modify than it is to push through and do a subpar version of what was planned. This is especially true for the key workouts in your plan. So every week there are key workouts, the workouts that are the most important, the ones that are the most specific to what your goal is and to what you're training for. And if you do a subpar version of a key workout, you are not going to be getting the adaptations that were intended. So a practical example of this is, for instance, if you find that you are not able to hit the intervals as they are planned, abort the intervals. Either complete the balance of time of the workout at an easier intensity, or reduce the duration of the workout and just call it early. Unfortunately, the hard news is that you don't know until after you do something if you actually got it right, which is what is so deceptive. And it's why we have to have a lot of self-awareness, and we need to be questioning ourselves and catching ourselves when we're thinking about something, if we're pushing towards doing something, because we won't know until we push through and we do it if we got the recipe right. Here's a behind-the-curtain secret that no one wants to say out loud because of how it sounds. All of training is a bit of an experiment where you are trying things and seeing what works and seeing what doesn't. Training is essentially a series of best guesses at what will work and what will cause an athlete to stay healthy and see gains. We only learn what works and what is effective, and sometimes, more importantly, what doesn't work and what isn't effective, by trying things, by doing them. That being said, self-coached athletes especially need to keep this in mind because they are at higher risk for being stubborn and not getting that recipe right. A coach is going to have a higher probability of this because of their broad base of experience and the fact that they're always thinking about these things and the fact that they're objectively thinking about it. I have seen that self-coached athletes will exist in a bit of a state of denial and/or that they will push ahead for what they want, even if they have that little voice in their mind telling them that what they're doing might not be the wisest choice. Again, the what the hell effect starts to come into play. Because they don't have someone pushing back on them or working with them to offer a third-party objective perspective, such as a coach, self-coached athletes often give in to what they want, what they feel, versus what is the most pragmatic and thoughtful course of action. The stubbornness and denial of self-coached athletes often results in undesired effects, such as feeling poorly, which is kind of a best case scenario, or getting injured, obviously a worst case scenario. Listening to experienced advice here can be useful, and it's one major reason why hiring a coach can be useful. A coach will push you when appropriate, and they will also hold you back when it's appropriate. Even if you have high degrees of self-awareness, it is impossible, hear me, impossible to be objective and unbiased when you are thinking about yourself because, like it or not, you have emotions and feelings. This is especially true when it comes to something that is important to you, such as your endurance sports training. Only another human can provide an unbiased and objective view of what you're doing and what might serve you best. They can offer suggestions and offer a different perspective than your own to give you a more complete thought perspective around what it is you're considering doing. In many ways, my experience has been that coaches often save athletes from themselves. And they do this by providing an objective perspective and a viewpoint that is different than that of the athlete themselves. Experienced coaches can help keep athletes on the long-term trajectory that will serve them best, keep them healthy, and give them the highest probability of reaching their goals. Coaches see the bigger puzzle all the time. They don't zoom in on the individual workouts as much as athletes who are completing the workouts tend to. Coaches also plan for the puzzle pieces, the workouts, that will create the bigger puzzle. They can see how the pieces will integrate with each other over time, not just on a micro level within even a single week. Workouts are so much more than they appear at face value. All workouts interplay with each other to create a puzzle, a training plan, that is designed to get athletes where they want to go. It's important for athletes to understand and appreciate this and to take a step back if they find themselves getting too caught up in or focused on the doing of individual workouts. Keep in mind that one workout will not make or break your training or your race day performance. That being said, one workout will build off of another. Together, a group of workouts is what will determine your probability of successfully reaching your goals. So be sure to look at the entire picture, the totality of all workouts together, rather than just zooming in and fixating in on a single workout. Be sure to consider how a single workout will impact other workouts, and that a single workout is not just a lost puzzle piece off on an island by itself. As you progress through your training, remember that workouts are pieces of a much larger puzzle, and that perspective is what will lead you to adaptations, gains, and success over time. That was another episode of the Full Circle Podcast. Subscribe to the Full Circle Podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you like what you listen to, please be sure to leave us a rating and review, as this goes a long way in helping us reach others. The thoughts and opinions expressed on the Full Circle Podcast are those of the individual. As always, we love to hear from you and we value your feedback. Please send us an email at podcast@fullcircleendurance.com or visit us at fullcircleendurance.com/podcast. To find training plans, see what other coaching services we offer, or to join our community, please visit fullcircleendurance.com. I'm Coach Laura Henry. Thanks for listening.